Good morning. This is Brian Trumbore with your Week in Review for Saturday, December 4th. I apologize for the voice, and I may have to interrupt this from time to time to clear my throat. Forgetting for the moment geopolitics and issues like North Korea, Iran, Lebanon, and terrorism that could sap sentiment in a nanosecond and send the markets careening backwards. History may look back on this week and conclude that this was the time when the United States finally looked in the mirror and realized it was time to change for the better. This story at the end, but first, reality check. And once again, we start in Europe with Ireland's bailout, with 57% of the Irish people, according to an Irish independent quantum research poll, wanting the state to default on debts to bondholders in the country's stricken banks, simply because the government cannot support the debt burden it has taken on. But with markets roiled by this prospect, to say the least, there has been mass confusion on the direction of the European Central Bank, the euro currency, and the continent as a whole. The end result for now, however, was inevitable, and so the European Union and the International Monetary Fund officially bailed out Ireland on Sunday night. The bailout package totals 85 billion euros, or about $113 billion, with 45 billion euros coming from European governments, 22.5 billion from the IMF, and 17.5 billion from Ireland itself through its cash reserves and national pension fund. Or, as one put it regarding this last item, Ireland is reaching into its sofa cushions. Among the details, Ireland is being forced to pay an interest rate on its loans of 5.8%, which is higher than the 5.2% Greece is paying for its bailout of last spring. The ECB and IMF, however, don't believe the Irish government's growth forecast that accompany its austerity plan, assuming Parliament approves it on December 7. And so Ireland was given an extra year until 2015 to get its fiscal house in order, and the budget deficit back below the preferred 3% of gross domestic product target. And Ireland does get to keep its cherished 12.5% corporate tax rate. The immediate reaction on Monday and Tuesday was not good. So much for Ireland, investors said. Who's next? Portugal, Spain, Italy, Belgium. And European finance ministers muddy the waters big time in talking about future haircuts for bondholders after July 2013 in order to spread the damage that politicians wouldn't have to ask an increasingly surly public for more funds to bail out their neighbors, i.e. Germans are not real happy campers these days. But it's all conjectured thus far exactly which bonds would be impacted. How much of an effect will this really have, and wouldn't the EU still have to come up with a ton of fresh capital should, say, Italy fall under the gun, Portugal and Spain having long been bailed out beforehand? In the end, for today, the EU speaks of having an agreement whereby post-2013 each nation's debt problems will be handled on a case-by-case basis, meaning it will be all about the political environment at the time and, for example, how well Germany and France are getting along. Whereas the Wall Street Journal editorial board concluded, quote, "So here is what the EU has done. In the name of combating speculation against the debt of Eurozone members, the EU has now insured all those speculators against loss for 3 years at least. Meanwhile, in creating a permanent crisis management mechanism, the EU has succeeded only in making permanent crisis more likely." Close quote. At least by week's end, things had stabilized some, owing to an aggressive intervention on the part of the ECB as it bought massive amounts of Portuguese and Irish bonds to sharply bring down the cost of borrowing for the two. And ECB President Jean-Claude Trichet strongly hinted, "We ain't seen nothing yet," while at the same time stressing that Eurozone governments need to be prepared to pony up more funds to increase the size of the EU's rescue fund. Which thus brings us back to square one and the point I made all last spring. This is Europe, not the 50 United States. We're all one nation. The 16 employing the euro are 16 different countries. We all pledge allegiance to the United States of America. They pledge allegiance to France first, then class starts. I certainly hope they aren't pledging allegiance to the EU as well, as much as the bureaucrats in Brussels would love this to be the case. When push comes to shove, and as one country falls after another, the people are going to say, that's it, screw them. And it won't matter if the president, prime minister, or chancellor at the time is an enlightened sort. If they don't go along with the people's wishes, it will be off with their head. But there is one hope and one hope only, and that is growth. If Europe, not just Germany, which will grow at a 3% clip the next 5 years, after another bailout or two, the continent could buy enough time to see itself through the crisis. But that's just not going to happen. I get a kick out of some of the headline writers for the likes of Bloomberg who really need to read their own writer's work or use their brain. One headline after another touts a bullish figure, such as a decent manufacturing figure for the Eurozone in October, but the headline doesn't include the fact that maybe that was the case in Germany and France and non-Euro Britain, but the others are all struggling. And just as ECB and IMF said Ireland's growth projections for its four-year austerity plan were, to quote incoming U.S. House Speaker John Boehner, chicken crap, the European Commission is projecting growth of just 1.5% in 2011 and 1.8% in 2012 for the EU. Yes, Germany may grow at a 2.2% clip in 2011 after 3.5% plus this year, but the rest of the continent will continue to sink. Why? Because their austerity programs will tamp down growth, and they still have massive debts to service. This isn't rocket science, kids. And again, regarding Germany, there is all this happy talk, but the growth trend here, after a better-than-expected 2010, is down, not up. And as much as some of us admire what the UK is doing in terms of addressing its budget issues, the government there this week pared back its own growth forecast. Europeans, as much as they deserve it, as do Americans, are being asked to make wrenching changes, and the euro area unemployment rate was just reported for October to be 10.1%, the highest since July 1998. Excuse me. Robert Samuelson, Washington Post. Europe's challenge is no longer just economic, it's also social and political. Cherished values and ideals are under assault. The euro, intended to nurture unity, has bred discord as countries assign blame and argue over sharing cost. The social contract is being rewritten, with government benefits and protections being cut. The rescue of Ireland, as with Greece before, represents a gamble that Europe can arrest growing doubts and win the patience of bondholders and voters. Persuading the investors not to continue dumping bonds, those of Ireland and other countries in panic, which raises interest rates and could precipitate a self-fulfilling financial collapse, and persuading ordinary citizens to tolerate austerity, higher unemployment, lower social benefits, heavier taxes, without resorting to paralyzing street protests or ineffectual parliamentary coalitions. Whether the gamble will succeed is unclear, as are the potentially chaotic consequences if it doesn't. That was Robert Samuelson. But let's look at the United States, shall we? Before Friday, the economic news was good, as in continued improvement. October construction was up when it was expected to be down. The November ISM figure on manufacturing was solid, 56.5, 50 being the dividing line between growth and contraction, following a very strong Chicago purchasing manager's reading of 62.5 for the month. The ISM non-manufacturing or service figure for November was a solid 55. The Federal Reserve's beige book, the look at regional activity, spoke of an economy that was improving in 10 of 12 regions. Retailers posted blowout November same-store sales figures. The figures on shopping for the Thanksgiving weekend, Black Friday, and then Cyber Monday also came in strong for the most part. Though these numbers are really crapola, but the various folks putting them out are employed, and that's good. But then came Friday's jobs report for November, and it was downright hideous. Payrolls increased just 39,000 when the forecast was for gains in the 140,000 to 150,000 neighborhood. More importantly, from a psychological standpoint, the unemployment rate rose to 9.8%, the worst since last April, and the numbers of hours worked and hourly earnings were unchanged. The number of unemployed in America now numbers 15.1 million, and it's the number of long-term unemployed, over 6 million, that is most distressing, as Fed Chairman Bernanke has been highlighting in his speeches. One area of the economy that continues to get hit is state and local government. New York City, for one, will cut 10,000 jobs over the next 18 months. No matter, though, Wall Street focused instead on the earlier good data and stability in Europe for a few days at least, and on Wednesday and Thursday, the market staged its biggest two-day rally since July. And even with Friday's depressing jobs picture, stocks managed slight gains again. One of the reasons for the better tone after three desultory weeks was not just Europe, but the feeling that Congress will extend the tax cuts and jobless benefits in the next few days. And late on Friday, we learned that the Fed is contemplating even more quantitative easing, more free money. It's Christmas time, after all. But I did start out by saying this could yet prove to be an historic week for a good reason, and that is the fact President Obama's debt commission, unlike most other presidential commissions throughout our history, took its job seriously. The composition of it was fair and bipartisan, lending gravitas, and 11 of 18 voted for a broad-based plan to cut $3.8 trillion in spending through a mix of tax increases and cuts in entitlements, including Social Security and Medicare. While 14 of 18 were needed to forward the plan to Congress for consideration, five of the six senators on the panel backed it, though five of the six House members voted no. And there is, for once, real momentum for actual change, change we could believe in. Special kudos to Democratic Senators Dick Durbin of Illinois and Kent Conrad of North Dakota, along with Republican Senators Mike Crapo of Idaho, Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, and Judd Gregg of New Hampshire. Is the plan perfect? Of course not, but it is a real plan, and my guess is President Obama will find the political courage to adopt much of it, for starters, when he gives his State of the Union address. Just as the British people, forget the protesters you've seen, placed their faith in a new government to come up with a real deficit reduction plan of their own, which led to the backing of the markets there, such would be the case in the U.S. I choose to be optimistic that this coming January and through the spring, the new Congress will face facts and reality. I believe all will pick up the mantra, as stated by Commission Co-Chair Erskine Bowles, that, quote, the era of deficit denial is over. This can have a huge positive impact on sentiment. Imagine, Congress approval ratings may actually rise, even the president's. But lest your editor and all of you get too carried away, there are those hot spots over there, and for this reason I'll continue to sleep with one eye open. Turning to the markets, after a three-week lull, the bull market resumed, with the Dow Jones up 2.6% to 11,382. The S&P 500 up 3% and NASDAQ up 2.2%. And just a note on China, its purchasing managers index for November came at a strong 55.2. This is good, and I would not be concerned with further tightening measures to come. If growth slows to the 8% range, even 7%, that's okay. I also maintain that while we could see another month or two of scary inflation data in China, food prices will stabilize quickly. I read stuff most others don't. Some food prices are already coming down, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, and the market is missing this. That's all for this week. Have a good one. I'll be back with you Saturday, December 11th. And for further information, go to stocksnews.com, click on Week in Review, and take care.